This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Today we're talking about spiritual gifts. I'll explain a bit more about that in a moment. But gifts are something we know about, I think. But have you ever given someone a gift that has caused conflict? Or perhaps you've been given a gift that's caused conflict. Maybe your parents gave you a dud present and your sibling an amazing present. Or maybe you accidentally did that as a parent to one of your children. Sometimes gifts can have a negative impact on our relationships, even though we don't mean them to. A little while ago, our daughter Amy, who was one at the time, was playing Pass the Parcel with her cousins. She won Pass the Parcel. She got the really good present in the middle. But she was devastated. She wanted the tiny little sweetie that everyone else got. She couldn't understand that what she got was actually better. And in her own little world, she was really sad, and no one really understood why. Her cousins were all vying for who could actually get the good bit of Lego in the middle, but it just went over her head. And I think sometimes gifts we misunderstand or gifts we don't really get, we don't see the bigger picture, risk having that kind of impact on us. So this is part one of a three-week little series looking at what we can learn about spiritual gifts from reading the book in the Bible of 1 Corinthians. This is a book in the New Testament of the Bible, which was written by a guy called Paul to a church in a city called Corinth in about 55 AD. That's about 20 years after Jesus died and rose again. Now, this church in Corinth was struggling with all sorts of things. They were struggling that Corinth itself as a city was full of corruption. There was lots of immorality, idolatry. It wasn't really winning any awards for the best city to live in for its quality of life. And the followers of Jesus there were really, really unsure about what to do about it. What do you do trying to follow Jesus when you live in a place where everyone is corrupt, everyone is battling with all sorts of immorality? And what do you do? Do you join in? Do you do something different? How do you even know what different looks like when it's everywhere? So Paul wrote this letter to this church after hearing of their struggles with this and just not knowing what to do. So he's like their overseer. He set them up, got them going, and he's stepping back and going, look, guys, I know you're struggling with this. Here's a few pointers. Try some of these things and see how you get on. So this church in Corinth had forgotten, really, what spiritual gifts were all about. They were so caught up in the world they were in. They'd forgotten why God gives them to us in the first place, and they were causing fights between them. People saying, well, I've got a better gift than you. And others go, no, mine is better. And it was just causing infighting, which wasn't what God intends spiritual gifts to be about at all. It was splitting the church up, a church in a place that desperately needed to be unified in order to stand out against the city it was in, was somehow caught up in this fight inside themselves. And so this letter is like a bit of a correction, reminder, kind of like a heads up, hello guys, this isn't what God was planning. They're not meant to be to cause fights. So with all that in mind, as a little bit of context, let's have a read of our passage. If you want to follow it in your Bibles, it will be on screen or on your devices. We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. So, now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. So this morning, I'd like for us to explore what we can learn from Paul's letter and how it is relevant to us in Leeds today. But before I go any further, let me just pray quickly. So Lord Jesus, thank you for the good spiritual gifts that you give us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the words in the Bible given to us that we might understand more of who you are and how we might live our lives. Please would you speak to us this morning as we explore this topic and help what is helpful to stick in people's hearts and minds and what is unhelpful to be quickly forgotten. Amen. So, Paul's aim in writing in this passage is for us to become uninformed. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. So we're trying to become informed about these spiritual gifts. There are so many spiritual things in the world today. Driving past our house, we often see an advert for spiritualists and tarot card readings outside the local pub. There's a lot of talk about spiritual things these days, which I don't remember from growing up in the same kind of same way. But what we're talking about today is spiritual gifts which are given to us by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to concentrate just on a small part of that passage I read, verses 4-7, which are the more general things for us to stand about what spiritual gifts are, what they're for, rather than concentrating on the particular gifts and what those particular things are. So this is a general look at the bigger topic. Now, in these verses, Paul talks about the works of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, the Son, and God the Father. And we actually, you might have noticed, we sang a song about this just a few minutes ago called I Believe, and we talk about believing in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is what we call the Trinity. And this particular passage in the Bible has a particular focus on the Holy Spirit. There's a whole other talk or huge series of talks, books written on the topic of the Trinity. And we're not going to look at that today, but just to mention that you might spot the language shifting in this passage between the three. The way that we see the Trinity working in this particular setting when we talk about spiritual gifts is that the Holy Spirit chooses to impart gifts to us and works together with the Father and Son to build up the church. Now, it might be as well that you've never heard this term spiritual gifts, and you're sat there thinking, I don't know what she's talking about. So let me just give you a little bit of explanation before I go on. My understanding is these are supernatural abilities or attributes which may well build on our natural abilities and attributes. In this passage, it talks about things like wisdom, faith, healing and prophecy, speaking other tongues or other languages, it's an easy way to understand that. Interpreting between these other languages. Performing miracles and being able to discern or distinguish between spirits, between what's going on in the world. These are the ones mentioned in this passage, and there are whole other lists in Romans, another book in the Bible, in Ephesians, and in 1 Peter. So if you want to read more, there's plenty you can read. If you were looking in a paper Bible, there may well be little notes to show you the other chapters in the Bible where you can find other references to other spiritual gifts. So let's get going. That's enough background and context. So we're going to start in verse 4 with, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And this word for gifts in verse 4 is a word called charismata, from the Greek word charis, which means grace. And I love this. Spiritual gifts are a way in which God shows his grace to us. I think God knows that it is a constant challenge, not just for the church in Corinth, but for us to live our lives in a world where God's kingdom isn't fully here, isn't fully realized, and we battle between knowing what God might have us do and what the world drags us and pulls us towards doing that looks tempting in its own way. So I think God gives us these gifts to help us, to equip us, to resource us to live in the world. They all come from God and they are all for the same purpose, for the good of the whole community, for the common good. Let's look at this concept of grace a little bit more. When I started talking about gifts and gifts that were freely given and that God wanted to bless us with gifts, there may well be some of you here whose immediate thought was, but I don't deserve them. I don't think I'll get any of them. There are things in my life that I do that surely exclude me from receiving gifts. Why would anyone give these to me? There are better people for them. And if that's where you get yourself caught, if that's where your thinking has taken you this morning, let me say this to you. You are not on your own. You are not on your own. And secondly, God loves you. And these gifts are for you. So I would really encourage you to try and keep listening to the rest of it, because this applies to you. And at the end, we'll have a chance to pray. And my prayer for you will be that God's grace will break through into your life and you'd be able to just even hold your hands forward, whether physically or mentally, to receive something today. These gifts are for you and God loves you. There's nothing too big or too difficult or too much of an obstacle for God. He loves you and wants a relationship with you. The church in Corinth I talked about was really showy and full of pride. Immorality was rife in the church and it was divisive. They were fighting all the time. And yet God says to them, ask for more. These gifts are for you. Ask for more. So I think if God can do that for the church in Corinth, God can do that for us here today. There is nothing that can keep us from God. These spiritual gifts are part of God's demonstration of his grace to us. Even though we may not deserve them, God says, I love you and here are my good gifts. Here are my good gifts. So let's look on to verse 5. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now, the Greek word here for the word service is diakonia, meaning ministries or service. And it's actually the word from which we get our term deacon. Now, we don't have deacons at the Leeds Vineyard, but there are many churches around the world who do. And the deacons were basically servants in the early church. They used to serve the church and they would serve God. They were looking to serve their God and serve others. And when we pray and ask for different gifts for different situations, we're really asking God for the tools we need in order to serve others better, to make a difference in the world, to step out, to make more of an impact, to bring about more change. As I was reading up on this subject, I came across this explanation, if you like, from Rich Nathan, who's a Vineyard pastor and a great teacher who's over in the US. He says this, there is nothing me-centered about desiring spiritual gifts. The desire, in fact, shows other-centeredness. When you pray for a spiritual gift, what you are saying is, I've learned to get beyond myself and my own needs, family, and issues. When you pray for a spiritual gift, what you're saying is, I've grown to the place in my life where I am now other-centered enough to want to see people encouraged, counseled, healed, and delivered. When you pray for a spiritual gift, what you're saying is, I've arrived at a place in my life where I really do passionately want to see people set free from their addictions. I want to have people come to know Jesus the way Christ has shown himself to me. So the more you desire to help and serve other people, the more you are going to ask God to give you spiritual gifts. If you don't care about serving others, you'll never ask God for a gift. But if you were a person who says, I really do want to be used by God to serve other people, I want to see other people do well, I want to see broken people mended, then you will frequently ask God for gifting. I find that quite challenging. I so often forget to ask God to equip me and just try and blunder through on my own strength. So do we want to help and serve others? And if so, when was the last time that we actually stopped and asked God to equip us, to give us his gifts? We're going to have a chance to do that at the end, to ask God to equip us, ready for the next things. So what we've learned so far, spiritual gifts are about God's grace, being lavishly blessed by our Heavenly Father. And I love what I call kingdom economics, that God blesses us with these gifts so that we can go out and bless others and have more impact than we could have on our own. The blessings just get multiplied as we take them and use them and step out into the places we find ourselves. So far, this sounds quite good to me. So we'll keep going. Verse 6. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, this is one of my favourite words I'm going to share with you. Energemata. That's the word used for working in this. It's the word from we get energy from. It's a sort of divine working or a divine energising. And this is actually the same word used in the Bible to describe the power that raised Jesus from the dead. This is not just like a little, it's not like having a can of Red Bull before you go and do something for a bit of energy. This is God's incredible, I can't really describe it, power that can raise somebody who has died back to life. And that's what we get to use when we get involved with using spiritual gifts. I tend to forget this. I can accept that God has given me spiritual gifts, and I can even accept that I might want to go and to use them. And then somehow, as I step out of my chair or out the door, I diminish my expectations of what God can do. I forget that that's the kind of power that I can harness. And somehow I'm back in my own reality thinking, oh, it's all down to me. And then I'm often disappointed when I don't see God raise people from the dead or don't see people healed. And I think there's a challenge, I'm sure not just for me, but for many of us, to remember that the power God gives us in his gifts is huge. And that we can lift our expectations and think, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, what can he do if I'm willing and available to be used? So spiritual gifts reveal the power of God. Rich Nathan refers to them as God's power tools. So we all have talents, things that we're good at, which are part of how God created us. And I think spiritual gifts take us beyond those natural talents. And if we can humble ourselves, acknowledge that our talents, our natural gifts and spiritual gifts come from God and ask him to release even more to us, then our expectations could lift, could go through the roof. So spiritual gifts are about God's grace, being lavishly blessed by our Heavenly Father. And they are a blessing that's then multiplied as we go out and use these spiritual gifts to better serve others. And they're not just like a kid's toy DIY kit. They're God's power tools. And we can remember that we have access to the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So we've covered a little of the question of what are spiritual gifts, and a little more about the why. What are they for? We find in verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And by the word manifestation, we mean something that is visible, which demonstrates that God is there, even though God is invisible. So let me give you some examples of things that we can't see, but we can see the manifestations of. We can't see the wind, but we can see the trees swaying in the wind, the manifestation of that wind. And we can't see the flow of electrons into a wall socket, but we can see a lamp that's plugged in turn on. We can see the manifestation of that power coming into the lamp. And we can't see God, but we can see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, of these God-given gifts being used as people are healed and of words of knowledge are shared. So one of my questions is, how are people today going to know that God is real? And I think this is one of our answers. Because we can go down the route of our best apologetics and arguments and discussions. We can have debates with people and maybe persuade them around to our way of thinking. And this is something which does work for many. And some of you may well be in this room today as a result of someone having difficult conversations with you and exploring what you think. I'm not very good at that, it has to be said. And my understanding is that that's the case for many. And also, many people aren't looking for a discussion. They're looking for an experience. They're looking for a personal experience of God. And this is something we can all do. We don't have to have all the answers to all, everyone's questions or even know where to look. We can be part of it by showing that God is real in our lives and by demonstrating this manifestation of his Spirit. We can invite others to experience God in their lives, invite our friends, and give them a story which they can share with their friends. We can seek to be known as people who seek peace, particularly at the moment, who encourage reconciliation rather than people who attract an argument and a debate and a fight about something. We can pray for the Holy Spirit to come on our friends instead. We can speak well of others in a world which often doesn't honour other people. We can go the extra mile rather than just putting ourselves first. We can invite the kingdom of God, that power we talked about that raised Jesus from the dead, to be a part of our daily lives and then be ready to explain why our lives are different than those of our friends. People often comment when they come to our house that it's very peaceful, even though that's often the last thing I feel when I'm chasing my children around the table. And I say to them, that's God's presence in my house. It's not me. It's far beyond what I can achieve by putting a nice little lamp in a corner and painting the walls a particular colour. That's God's presence in our house. So spiritual gifts are about God's grace, about being lavishly blessed by our Heavenly Father. And they are a blessing that is then multiplied as these spiritual gifts help us to better serve and help others. Spiritual gifts aren't just like a kid's DIY toolkit. They're God's power tools, and we have access to that power that raised Jesus from the dead. And every time you or I practice a spiritual gift, we are demonstrating to people that God is alive today. We're giving them something they can see when they can't necessarily see God at work. Now, some of you are probably feeling excited by this, and some of you are feeling incredibly nervous about this, and there'll be people all the way in between. And I don't know about you, but I would really love for Leeds Vineyard to be a place where everyone gets to play, where everyone gets to go at trying to figure out what these are. Will we get to practice spiritual gifts? Where it's okay to try them out, maybe in your growth group, and pray for each other or share words of knowledge or even ask more questions about what they are. A place where God's power and God's love and God's grace are really evident in the way we interact with each other and interact with others, and where people coming in can experience God and maybe start asking some questions. So I'd like to invite you to stand if you're able to. And I'm just going to pray. And I'd just like to reassure you that if anyone's heard about spiritual gifts before and is a bit worried that sometimes strange things happen, I'd just like to reassure you that this is a safe place and that I'll do my best to explain anything if anything strange does happen, because who knows what God's going to do. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you that just like with the church in Corinth, there is nothing too big for your grace to cover. So I pray particularly now for people who have ruled themselves out. Pray, thank you, Lord, that your grace is enough. There is enough of you to cover everything. Father, for those who are struggling to accept your gifts, I pray that you would just release over them now a new understanding of how much you love them. He loves you. God loves you. And he desperately wants to know you. So I pray that today would be a day of knowing his presence, of knowing his love again in your life. I think there are many of you, when I spoke about that chance to ask for more spiritual gifts, to equip you, that resonated with you. And if that's you, I'd really encourage you to come forward now. And part of that is that sometimes in the moving and the stepping and the walking up to the front, it becomes public, which reminds us that they're there to use. So if that's you, I'd just encourage you to come to the front now and we'll just pray for more of God's gifts to be released. And someone's got to start, because I know there's more than one of you here. So be brave. Thank you. I suspect there's probably more of you, so we'll just wait a moment.
I just felt like during worship that line from that song, your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. That was, there's someone here or more than one who's just struggling to accept that. And there's just the sort of steady persistence, I think, of God's love in that line. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. And that's what the Lord wants you to hear that this morning. And so if that's you, I'd really encourage you to come up and get someone to pray for you, and he wants you to know that this morning.
There was a third group of people I referred to, people who were just actually not sure, perhaps, whether they believe in God, but desperately want to experience some of God in their lives or see God evident. And if that's you, after we've prayed for these guys to be filled up with God's gifts, they might be willing to come and pray for you or find someone near you who would. So actually, if you're part of that group, I'd invite you to come and watch as we pray for these guys. And that's fine. If there's anything going on with them, we'll just explain what's happening. And that's part of learning. That's part of learning and everyone getting to play and experiencing this. So I'm going to do a last call. If anyone wants to join these guys up at the front, then do come and be prayed for. If anyone wants to just come and see what's going on, then again, come up and be prayed for. And if you've come this morning and there's other stuff going on and you just really value someone praying for you, then if you come and find Andrew will find somebody who can just pray and bless what God's doing in your life. We've got a couple of minutes and we'll pray for these guys, and then I'll just let you see what God's up to, and then we'll let you know when it's time to get the children in a couple of minutes' time. So we pray, come Holy Spirit. Would your presence fall in this place? And you say in your word that when we ask for your gifts, that you give them to us. So I pray for these guys. Pray for those who've bravely come forward and those who are sitting squirming in their seats, that you would come and equip them. Would you pour your gifts out on your people? I can assure you that there's nothing particularly strange going on up here, but if you stood where I'm stood, you could see that God's presence is resting on people, particularly across the front, but also generally in the room. And what that looks like for many is a look of peace on their faces, or for a slight trembling, or sometimes of tears, or sometimes just a look of real concentration, like a conversation, they're having a conversation. So we pray for more. I think each of you know the gifts you need. So I'd encourage you now just to ask God for what you need. Tell him the situations you need him to be in, and ask God to equip you. Right, we're going to carry on praying for these guys, and if you're in a small group, I'd encourage you to come and join in if you can. But if you have children, now is a really good time to go and get them. I'm sure they've been having a wonderful time. And yeah, if you would like prayer for anything else, please do come forward, and Andrew or I will find someone who can pray for you and let God get involved in the situations in your life. Thank you for coming to Leeds Vineyard this morning.